Take v. County of Monroe.
May it please the Court. Counsel, my name is Tim Gutzknecht of the law firm of Crowder & Scoggins in Columbia, Illinois, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant in this case, Mr. Gene Taki, who is present today with his family. This is an appeal from a grant of summary judgment in favor of defendant following a finding by the trial court that there was no evidence of a contract between the parties.
Counsel, I want to get to a fundamental issue, and maybe you can explain it to me. How does this arise to a federal cause of action? I know you cite 28 U.S.C. 1331 and 1343, but what's the basis that brings it into the federal court?
We have a state actor involved, namely the County of Monroe, depriving my client of process and of property rights. And it's our position we had property rights, contractual rights, and were denied those without the proper procedure.
Isn't there some case law, that says that a contract dispute, even involving a county, for example, does not come within the use statute?
I'm not aware of that case law, Your Honor.
It's the Sudeikis case and the Goros case and the Indiana Land Company case and the Garcia case and many others. This has been well established for a long time. A breach of contract isn't actionable under 1983.
Well, I'm aware of the fact that a simple contract case is not actionable, but in this instance, prior to our filing the complaint, I believe that we had looked at the law with respect to the fact of the deprivation of property rights here, and this was not an argument that was raised in the trial court by the defendant.
That doesn't matter. It's a jurisdictional issue. Without some jurisdictional basis for federal claim here, you're out on that basis, not merits. You're out on jurisdiction. That's the thrust of the Goros case.
If it is this esteemed court's position that there's no jurisdiction for this case, then I would ask for a time to submit some sort of a brief with respect to that.
We're way past that, counsel.
Well,
way past that. It's your burden.
But, like I said, the trial court felt that we had jurisdiction on the case. And
that
we
doesn't
felt
matter. We have an independent obligation. This case belongs in state court.
But we
don't even get to whether there was a contract here. All you're alleging is that there was a contract and it was breached, which seems to me is the thrust of this case, then that's not a 1983 action.
Well, I respectfully disagree, and I apologize for not having the law on that here, but the problem is if you affirm the trial court's decision in this case, we don't even get to go to state court on this.
That wouldn't necessarily be the action we could take if we don't have jurisdiction.
Vacate remand for entry of judgment of dismissal for lack of jurisdiction.
Well, as a fallback position, that's better than the position that where we stand in the federal court. Is the court interested in hearing any arguments with respect to the contractual issues?
You want to hear the contract issue?
I think we ought to file something on jurisdiction.
Okay. Go ahead with your merits argument.
Thank you. It's our position that the trial court's finding in this case of no evidence of a contract was erroneous. It's a de novo standard, so there's no deference to be given to the trial court in this instance. As this court's well aware, in order for there to be summary judgment, there must be absolutely no genuine issue of material fact. My client was entitled to every single benefit of the doubt, and he did not get that benefit in the trial court. Even at an early stage in the litigation before depositions, there was plenty of evidence which was put before the court that shows there was a contract between the parties. Primarily, it's not the only evidence, but primarily the minutes of Monroe County, where Commissioner Hodrick stated in the minutes and was not contradicted by anybody that there was a contract between the parties and it was binding. That admission alone should have prevented summary judgment in this case, but that's not the only thing that happened here.
Didn't your client write a letter to the county asking them to execute or prepare a contract sometime in January after you've been negotiating for some time?
Your Honor, my client did use language about let's get a contract document together.
Doesn't that contradict your position now?
Well, possibly it does, but that's an issue of fact. But I don't think it does from the standpoint of my client was not represented by me at that time. He's not a lawyer. He's not very sophisticated in these types of matters. I do a lot of transactional work, and I have clients come to a real estate closing all the time who are asking to finish up the contract documents because they don't know that you have a contract document. You go to closing with closing documents. And so his term was inartful. But I don't think that that contradicts all of the steps that the County of Monroe took toward the closing of this contract. They waived a bond requirement that wouldn't have arisen if they hadn't accepted the contract. They made a demand for another bond that the demand wouldn't have arisen except if there is acceptance of the contract. And then they used that as the given reason for supposedly terminating his bid was that he didn't provide them with a bond that, once again, there's only the only requirement for that bond is within 5 days of acceptance. Their own document says that. I'm not coming up with that myself. So the fact that they took these steps that wouldn't have been taken but for a contract between the parties, there's enough here that this case should have proceeded on to trial. If it had gone on to trial, we could have had additional evidence of contract. Much is going to be said by opposing counsel about, well, it doesn't specifically state in the minutes, yes, we accept this contract. That's true. My client had nothing to do with what is or isn't in the minutes. And as we point out in our brief, we do have some disputes about that. The minutes are wholly created by Monroe County, not by us. So they should be strictly construed against them, but not strictly construed against my client. The trial court probably based its erroneous decision on an erroneous reading of Illinois law, stating that you can't have a contract. This is the trial court statement. You can't have a contract with the county unless there's a formal resolution. That's not the law in Illinois. The two cases cited by the trial court for that ruling, one of them, its sole basis for making that statement, the Hassett case, is the voting machine case versus Daly. And if you look at that case really wasn't even a contract case. That was a case about whether or not a company had to pay taxes to the state of Illinois, and the argument was, well, where was the contract entered into? So that case is dictum at best here, and that cannot stand for the broad proposition that the trial court made here. The trial court was also wrong saying that this was an appropriate issue for a finding as a matter of law. The case is cited for that, Gianetti and Jones. Well, Jones cites to Gianetti, and Gianetti has a qualifier that says certain types of contracts, but not if there's an issue as to formation. And that's what we have here, an issue to formation. So the trial court was wrong with respect to the Illinois law here, and apparently you believe that wrong with respect to the federal law here.
What remedy are you seeking?
What remedy are we seeking in this appeal? We were seeking to have a reversal to go back to have,
I understand that,
have trial.
What remedy are you seeking in this litigation?
And the primary remedy we were seeking was for the county to carry out its contractual obligation and convey the property to my client.
Okay, so you want the property. You don't want more process. So this isn't a due process claim.
We believe we have specific
performance.
We believe we have property rights. We're deprived of those property rights. We want those property rights.
Well, then what you get is more process, not necessarily the property conveyed. A due process claim pertains to notice and a hearing, right?
Yes, it does.
So at best, you get a hearing at which the county can reject your offer anyway.
Well, our complaint also had additional forms, remedies, if we didn't get the proper procedure, yes. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chrysler.
What do you have to say about jurisdiction since you agreed that the appellant's statement was correct?
I did not realize or find the case law on the jurisdictional argument. I solely attacked it with a motion to dismiss at first, 12b-6, and then immediately prepared affidavits and filed a motion for summary judgment to expedite the process, because there was a building, a very substantial building in Monroe County, that cost extremely a lot of money to keep going until the resolution of this matter. So I was looking at a very quick disposition.
A jurisdictional dismissal would have been very
would
quick.
Have been very, very fast.
This was not removed, I gather. It was an original action in federal court.
The original action was in federal court, yes, Your Honor. And just to briefly respond, since the procedural posture of the case, the minutes of the board are the best evidence. It's not as if the commissioners accepted. It's not reflected in the minutes. They actually tabled pending some other conditions precedent. There was no... there's absolutely no acceptance. The county has to jump through many hoops with the Open Meetings Act. They have to establish an agenda. They have to have a clerk who's a separate elected official who takes the minutes. There are many, many procedural safeguards to ensure that the county of Monroe, the commissioners, they have full open meetings. Everything is discussed. It was not accepted. There's nothing really more to discuss. I wish I would have made a jurisdictional argument in the first place. I can answer any other questions. Thank you. Thank you.
You have 1 minute.
I'll be brief, as counsel was brief. Relying upon the minutes here doesn't work. The cases that are cited with respect to how binding the minutes are cases that bind persons who were involved in what goes in the minutes, i.e. members of school boards, members of city boards, and so forth. Those cases do not stand for the rule that somebody dealing with the party is bound by what that party agrees to put in the minutes. It's like creating your own evidence. You can always slant it in your direction. And there also, counsel mentioned a condition precedent in this contract. There was no condition precedent. However, that's a term that only means something if you have a contract in place. We would like the court to reverse and send it back down for trial. If you don't do that and choose to dismiss it, please have the trial court's decision vacated so we may proceed in state court. Thank you.
Judge Cuddy has asked that there be some supplemental briefing on it. So if you will address the jurisdictional issue we've raised within 7 days, file a supplemental brief, and you'll have 7 days to respond to it.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.